Dr. Hannah Allen is Chief Medical Officer UK and EU at Heidi Health and a former NHS physician who has spent her career at the intersection of clinical practice and digital innovation. In this episode, she joins Inga Bergen to explore how AI is already reshaping the reality of healthcare. They discuss how ambient AI is reducing the heavy administrative burden on clinicians, with real-world results from the NHS showing millions of consultations documented and significant time given back to doctors. Dr. Allen also explains why the goal is not to replace physicians, but to support them with intelligent systems that act like a true care partner. The conversation goes further into patient benefits, safety, and the big question, how AI will redefine the role of doctors in the coming years. Stay with us to understand why this shift is already happening and what it means for the future of medicine.
So hello and welcome to today's episode of Visionaries of Healthcare. I am super excited about my guest today. And as you can hear, it's an English episode again, because my guest today is Hannah Allen. Very nice to have you as my interview partner for today. Hello, Hannah.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes, Hannah, you have a long journey. You are a medical practitioner. You work in the NHS. You worked in the NHS. You worked for Babylon Health. Lots of you know or remember Babylon Health, one of the first really, really big AI use cases in the NHS as a symptom checker and a kind of triage system. But now you're chief medical officer at one of the most, well, promising startups, AI startups or scale-ups, I would say, Heidi Health. How do you pronounce it, Hannah? Tell me.
That's a good question. I pronounce it Heidi, but I quite like the way that you say it, to be honest.
Okay. Well, it would be like a German surname, Heidi, like Heidi Klum, but it has nothing to do with Heidi Klum. Heidi Health is an AI, well, as Ambient Scribe, started with Ambient Scribe or started with training doctors in conversations, and is now becoming an AI assistant, also adding billing. And yeah, you joined Heidi Health. Why? Why did you join the company?
Gosh, what a good question. So I guess to step back in time, to give you a little bit more color and context to me. So I guess I'm very purpose driven. So everything that I've done in my career has always been, you know, for the kind of greater good, right? So part of the reason why I became a doctor, I love the human side of medicine. I love communicating with people. I love helping people in difficult situations. So it was a natural course for me. And I was always very curious about science and how to apply science to complex problems. So I was very excited when the world of like digital health came about. But also I was driven by the problems that I was trying to solve. So I wanted to deliver better. Huge, huge amount. So I remember vividly sitting in my clinic as a GP trainee and trying to give quality care to pregnant and postnatal women and feeling like an utter failure. I felt like I'd let them down. I felt like I couldn't cover all of the things that they needed to cover, from their pelvic floor to breastfeeding to mental health challenges, et cetera, et cetera. And that was what really drove me into digital health, because I could see that actually to reach these people, to give me more headspace, more time with patients, it was really using technology to do that. And that was back in kind of 2015. You know, we were just chatting before, but it was at a time when it was like a really odd thing to want to do as a doctor. You know, people would say to me, oh, that's a bit strange, isn't it? Telemedicine or using AI, what's that? And I guess I've sort of remained in that space and really kind of grown with the technology and the scope over the past 10 years. So I was at Babylon for a number of years, sort of building products in various different regions, and then building out the women's health product vertical as well. I was a founder as well in women's health, and then consulted with a bunch of startups about the pitfalls and challenges of building. And really, honestly, when I came across Heidi, it was a doctor colleague said to me, oh, you should try Heidi out. And I thought, oh, I'm a bit jaded. I'm a bit done with this startup scene. You know, I don't think anything's going to really help. Everyone's drinking the Kool-Aid. And they said, just give it a go. And so I said, okay, I'll try it. And I remember sitting there trying out Heidi in a noisy environment. My kids kept interrupting me. You know, my son was coming and saying, I want to play FIFA. And my daughter was asking for Marmite sandwiches or whatever. And I thought, this is never going to record an accurate consultation. And then lo and behold, when I stopped the transcription button, it blew my mind what I could see. And it was so accurate. It was so fast. It was so nice to use. It felt like it was built for clinicians rather than forced on us, as all the legacy technology historically has been. And I was blown away. And so the product really, really, you know, sucked me in. And I haven't looked back. I think there are a few things that have to align in order for you to really jump at an opportunity. And for me, it was the founding team. So 20% of the founding team were all clinicians. So that really spoke to me, because it means you really prioritize how the clinician feels and what the clinician sees. And B, the investment in a kind of compliance, governance, safety, et cetera, and C, the product. How good is the product? How much is it going to change? And for me, it was radically going to change the way that we deliver healthcare. Mm-hmm. So I jumped on board.
Yeah, so that's super interesting, because ambient AI scribing is the fastest growing category in health IT at the moment. And it's super crowded. There are many, many companies moving into the direction. And there is lots of expectation, and now there is a little bit of data. And that's what I, as a German, always find super interesting when talking to somebody who works in the NHS, because you have similar problems that we have in Germany, but you have lots of data and more opportunity to access data. And you have just released an impact report, and the numbers are really super interesting, because from my point of view, ambient AI is really one of the first tools showing impact at scale. So maybe we can deep dive into that a little bit from your, individual feeling that this could be of benefit, you know, for your challenge, not being fully present with your patients at a broader scale.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is the critical part, is that healthcare today is full of distraction. It's distraction from other humans, from nurses, from reception, from junior colleagues, from senior colleagues, from multiple patients, from, you know, noises, etc. It's full of distraction. And actually what's important in that interaction is the patient in front of us. And what we're seeing now with ambient is the ability to get rid of all of that accessory noise and distraction and just focus on the human in front of us, to give that warm care, to look the patient in the eye, to put your hand on their shoulder. You know, we have a privileged position as doctors, so really to allow us to focus on that warm care. And what we've seen since coming over to the UK, since launching, I've been with Heidi for 2 years, so since the inception, has been huge. So we've seen astronomic adoption and scale. So we're used by about 1 in 2 GPs now, used across the board from community primary and secondary care. And we've seen around 4 million hours of clinical capacity return to the NHS estimated. So it's huge. We've transcribed over 15 million patient consults. And really importantly, is the impact that we're having, both from a clinician perspective and a patient perspective. And what we've seen in primary care is a 61% reduction in out-of-consultation documentation. So what that means for a GP is that I'm getting home on time to go to my kids' football matches, or I'm having a lunch break. You know, I'm not working through on these, you know, awful 12-hour days now. I'm getting time back for me. We're seeing an 86% reduction in documentation time across the board. And really importantly, seeing in the emergency setting and across the board, 95% of clinicians, 95% reporting reduced burnout. So we are now looking at a system that perhaps people will stay in the healthcare system to support our patients. Perhaps people will continue to want to work in this environment that is very challenging right now, where morale is low. you know, clinicians are trying to leave in droves. So perhaps this is, you know, the kind of answer to the challenges, the modern day challenges that we're seeing in healthcare today.
What I find super interesting is that this is a starting point. So we now have a kind of AI platform race with all the big scale-ups. And there's always a starting point. I work a lot with DoctorLib. They started with appointment making. Now they're moving into an operation system for the doctor's office. And Heidi Health has also a clear strategy and is becoming like an AI layer for the clinicians' work. So it's starting with Scribe, adding evidence, adding commercials, adding all the optimization for billing, for example, and these kind of topics. Where do you see the potential as a clinician?
Yeah, great question. So I think if we take a step back and think about the problem we're trying to solve, right, the problem that we're trying to solve is all about giving time back to our clinicians, okay? Mm-hmm. And we have a really audacious mission, what startup doesn't, but it's about doubling the world's healthcare capacity without dehumanizing it. And in order to double the world's healthcare capacity using technology, we have to look at where our time is sucked up. And yes, of course, it's used up in documentation when the patient's in front of us. But where else do we spend our time? Well, we spend our time, you know, synthesizing data and thinking through what might the patient be coming in with. And also when the patient leaves the room, you know, there's lots of tasks that fall out of that consultation. So whether it's ordering a chest x-ray or ordering labs or following up on referrals or phoning to refer the patient into the hospital environment. So there's loads of other tasks that we have to do as clinicians that actually a lot of them technology can do better, faster and more effectively. So let's allow the technology to do the jobs that it's better at, so we can focus on the human side of medicine. So that's why we are building out an AI care partner. And that means taking away the administrative burden of healthcare for the technology to do so that we can just focus on the human in front of us.
So my question always is because if we look at healthcare, it's always such a national market with so many, individual demands that every national market has that differ. And Heidi Health is an Australian startup. It's big in Australia. Now it's in the NHS. You are a GP, so you pretty much understand. I mean, you have been a founder. You have been around in the early days of digital health. So you know how to build a product and you know what kind of mistakes can be made. So that a product is not really usable in the day-to-day, user journey a GP has or doesn't even need to be a GP. It can be any person working with patients or consulting patients. How do you make sure that you provide a product that is usable for a national market, like for the NHS, for example?
Yeah, so I think there are a few things, right? So I think firstly is remaining super clinician centric. So that means having clinicians within the company that deeply understand the problems that we're experiencing, but also the nuances of all the different regional markets, right? One thing that's been really interesting, kind of going into Europe and spending some time in the US and Australia as well, is actually a lot of the problems, yes, they have, you know, regional nuances, but a lot of them are grossly very similar, right? And that was quite interesting. So I think it's having clinicians driving the helm, right? At the helm, dictating the strategy and really making sure that everything is built from a clinician-centric perspective. And then it's really about ensuring that we can understand the workflows, because it's all very easy to build software and to deploy it to clinicians. But actually, you can't just go, here you go, off you go, let's see how you use it, good luck. To us, what's our North Star metric is the adoption of it, because that's really where you start to see do clinicians even like what we're building? And B, what does that mean for the healthcare system, right? The healthcare system's only going to realize the ROI if people are actually using it. So having that adoption there is really important. And how do you get high adoption? Well, you map out the workflows that people are using. You map out all the different systems that people are using. You know, how do they need Ambient to work for them in a real world setting? It may be that we need to speak to 20 different systems. Okay, then, well, that's what we need to build out. But if we don't map that out from the get-go, we won't understand how AI is really deeply integrated and embedded in a real workflow.
Yeah, so I always ask myself, if you have an Ambient Scribe AI first company, how do you get people to integrate your service into their system? Because now I would say that every systems provider in the healthcare system is working on AI Scribe and on this AI layer. And, you know, as we all know, well, there are some good ones. There's some that are maybe not working that well. So what do you think? How can you compete as a scale up, you know, in that race? That's a super interesting question.
Completely. And I think it's more than the scribe, right? I think the scribe is just the beginning. It's just kind of the wedge in. And actually, you know, how do you continue to build out clinician-centric products that work together in an orchestration layer to build out this kind of intelligent care partner, essentially, like having a junior doctor alongside of you as a senior clinician all the time doing the tasks that we don't necessarily want to do. So one of the other products that we recently brought to market was the remote. So it's a small, essentially microphone that you can pin on you and you can walk around on your ward rounds. You can go on into the community and see patients in care homes. It's reflective of that clinician-centric perspective, because we know that care happens in corridors and in ambulances and in all sorts of places, not just in isolated consultation rooms. So we have to adapt to the clinicians, not the other way around. And historically, it's always been technology that's forced on us that doesn't really work super well for us. It's pretty clunky. And now we're in this realm where we can create products that genuinely answer pain points for us. And we can build them into essentially an orchestration layer, a chain of different tasks that can then do entire workflows for us. So, you know, imagine a world where you're going in to see your doctor and you don't have to keep repeating yourself because AI is synthesizing all of your data in real time and dynamically supporting your GP. That's worlds away from how we've practiced medicine historically.
I really like the picture you paint with a junior doctor, you know, walking besides you doing all the tasks, because that's also a question I get confronted with a lot. And it is so interesting. I even had a solo episode on my podcast about it, where I, you know, did something with AI, and then late at night I just realized, wow, it's so much better than me. It can do things faster. It really gets to assumptions, you know, that I get to, but I need a lot more time for it. And I find that in healthcare, clinicians, people who work also as nurses, for example, they find it super helpful, but at the same time, you know, it's a kind of threat to identity, to a professional identity that is based on knowledge. And so it has this one layer, you know, where you describe the workflow integration, freeing up like half of the you know, the work time of medical staff worldwide. But then it has another layer, and that is, who are we when that becomes, well, true? What is your, have you asked that question to yourself? I assume, yes, you have.
Completely. And I think it's been one that I've been pondering for a while. And we talk about it a lot at Heidi, the kind of ethical dilemmas around, you know, bringing in AI. I think about sort of history of medicine as well. And you know, historically, whenever there's been any change, it's been a threat and we've been sort of scared of it. And that's completely normal. That's human nature. You know, even bring in the stethoscope, people are wary and thought they would de-skill us, etc. You know, this is a whole different kettle of fish. But I think it is important to remember that often human nature doesn't necessarily like change. And if we remember the environment that we're working in as well, where, you know, we know that increasing headcount isn't necessarily going to correlate with increasing productivity, right? We've increased nursing headcount by 30% over the past 5 years and seen no rise in productivity. Like, human headcount isn't the answer. It's got to be, how do we do things differently? However, I think that it's really important to educate people and work with people at the pace at which they're comfortable with. And that may be, you know, that it takes some time to bring in this type of technology to really see the full benefits of it, because for some people it is scary and there is change, and we understand that, which is why a large part of what I do in my kind of day-to-day role is around that education piece and supporting clinicians to understand, yes, there's these amazing benefits of kind of time saving, productivity, you know, increased patient contact, improvement in patient experience. But there's also risks and challenges along with it that you need to be aware of. And I think a big part of kind of gaining that, you know, trust and taking people along on the journey is being transparent about that as well. I think that's really important.
So how that then we could dive into that topic, because I would like to understand, how do you handle hallucinations or edge cases, cognitive offloading risks that are there? I mean, we talk a lot about de-skilling or never-skilling in medical care, you know, where people de-skill when they start using AI, they lose a bit of their skills over time, or they never build them up if they start using AI from scratch. And it's so interesting talking to people who are not really ahead of the AI game. I hear very often, I used AI, it hallucinated, and then I stopped using it. So I would not get to that conclusion, but you know, how do you answer to those kind of questions?
Yeah, so really important questions. I think, firstly, if we think about the environment that we're operating in, right? Humans aren't perfect, and we know that. I know I make mistakes as a doctor, for example, as a GP. However, we aren't necessarily measuring them, right? Nobody sits in the room with me while I'm consulting with, you know, 40 patients in a day. But what we do know is that things like prescription rates rise towards the end of the day. You know, cognitive burden does rise and has an effect on our ability to, you know, make fast decisions, for example. So that's the environment that we're working in. However, you know, we've seen this amazing technology come along and really help us to kind of enjoy our day-to-day lives more, which is great. But as you say, there are risks associated with this as well. So for sure, we see things like, you know, hallucinations, et cetera. It's a known risk of the technology. I think as a vendor, the way that we've kind of approached it is to have a reactive and a kind of proactive approach to governance, quality, safety, et cetera. And what that means is, you know, having reactive processes, guardrails, et cetera, in place, but also this kind of proactive way of working with partners, with all of our NHS partners, to say, you know, because actually what's important is understanding, did any risks reach any end customers? Did any patient harm happen, etc.? And then how do we learn from that, you know? And, you know, we are very proud to say that there's been no significant hallucinations or errors and no patient harm, but we work on a really regular cadence with NHS partners, as NHS trusts do anyway, right? You know, and we have regular internal meetings to analyze our data, to feed back and make sure that those learnings are cascaded throughout the whole company.
I find that also super interesting, because our perception of errors that technology AI makes, it's much more critical than our perception of errors that humans make. I mean, at least you have more transparency in the NHS about human errors than we have in Germany, because we don't have any transparency. But what I find super interesting is that when we look at, you know, this like one part of your product, that is AI Scribe, then the clinician retains full responsibility for the accuracy of the recording of the output, and it must be checked. But I find it super interesting because sometimes you may need extra validation in really complex scenarios, like in translation, and then, you know, a clinician could be like a liability sink for an AI tool, and how to prevent that. I mean, these are questions that we never had in the past, but now we have to answer them.
Completely. And remember, there's always a human in the loop. So all of this technology has to be created with human in the loop. So what that means is nothing goes into the electronic healthcare record without the clinician saying, yes, that is the conversation that I had with the patient. That's really important. And, you know, we do training modules and we have pop-ups in the product to make sure that our clinicians are satisfied that that really reflects it. When it comes to like translation, so importantly, we have guardrails around this as well. And as part of the education, we say to every clinician, only consult in the languages that you can speak fluently, because you have to ratify that note at the end of the day, you know? And to take that one step further, we also have real-time kind of verify, it's called verify within the product, that flags up any like low certainty any potential errors within the transcript, within the note, so that you can go back and say, I'm not sure that was what was said, or is that the drug name that was said? So that's also really important, an extra guardrail within our evidence product, which is essentially providing you as a clinician with the latest up-to-date medical knowledge. As we know, medical knowledge doubles every 73 days, so it's almost impossible to stay on top of everything. And it prevents me as a clinician from having multiple tabs open and being distracted again from my patient in front of me. Within the evidence product, everything is attributable to the sources. So you can click through to read what source was it pulled from. And all the sources you can tailor according to the region that you're in and even the hospital trust. So you might have specific formularies or guidelines that you have to follow as a clinician within that trust. And they are all inputted into evidence. So that's another kind of, you know, specific safety guardrail and quality guardrail in there as well.
Yeah, super interesting. And then on the other hand side, I mean, there's also all the EHR giants, you know, that are bundling scribing into their packaging. And what I find interesting, and I would love to hear your perspective as a clinician, is that you're model agnostic. So you can work based on like every AI model. I mean, there are two different strategies, you know, for every clinic to decide how to work with a model agnostic tool or with a tool that does all these things, that is integrated. What would be your answer as a clinician? And a Heidi.
So I think that, again, historically, the kind of, you know, tech giants are often slower and less agile and less clinician-centric. They tend to build for, you know, for billing, for example, which will satisfy the CFO. However, when you're building a product that relies on clinicians using it, clinicians speak with their feet. So we already see that clinicians will use Heidi over the free, you know, scribe that's provided as part of their EHR. So we know that the sort of strategy that we're taking of building that really clinician-centric product works. Moving forward, you know, when you look at the kind of landscape at the moment within a lot of healthcare systems, there are multiple different systems and electronic healthcare records that don't speak to each other. And so being vendor agnostic from that perspective is a real advantage, because we can speak to all of them and help to kind of string them together.
That makes
sense. For example, in the UK at the moment, Yeah, and we're talking about a single patient record, which I wholeheartedly agree with, right? It's somewhere where the patient can see everything about themselves, where the data belongs to the patient. They can turn up to A&E, they can turn up to the GP, they can go abroad and take it with them, you know? And actually having Ambient strung through all of those different systems to give the patient a whole record is hugely advantageous.
Yeah, totally. And that's also interesting that you mentioned the patient now, because I mean, all this scribe, I don't know how it is in the NHS, but I have been a patient in the NHS, but that's maybe 15 years ago. So I don't know how it is today. Does the patient get anything like documented?
Yeah. So what I think is really exciting about this technology, and we've seen it from, you know, from the patients that I speak to, that they love reading what Heidi has produced, because we can say to Heidi, produce a patient-facing version of this that you can then send to the patient. So as a GP, I would often get patients coming in to see me saying, oh, I've got this letter from the cardiologist, but, you know, it's got all this lingo on there and I don't know what these acronyms stand for. And can you explain this to me? Well, with Ambient now, they don't have that, right? They don't need to come in and critique everything with us, because they've got, you know, really broken down, really simply explained, you know, an A4 sheet detailing everything that had happened to them. So they feel like they're taken on that journey much more than they would have done a few years back. Even I see it in clinical practice when I'm examining a patient, because I'm speaking out loud, the patients are saying, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that's why you did that. Or I'm saying, you know, I'm pressing on your tummy now, as it saw when I press in or when I let go. I'm speaking out loud for the purposes of Heidi. And the patients feel like it's much more of a shared experience. Yes. And actually, a lot of research supports the fact that if you have a shared experience, your patient outcomes improve. So that's really interesting as well.
Yeah, so super interesting. And I'm really looking forward that we will meet at the Health in Amsterdam this year, that we have ahead of us. And to sum up our conversation, I have a few quick questions. Just to really understand what you're aiming at Heidi, you left the frontline medicine and your startup because you want to have impact at scale. And you said, doubling healthcare capacity, that's your vision at Heidi. What does it actually look like, not as a slogan, but in a real clinic 5 years from now, if we're really doubling healthcare capacity?
Yeah, so I love this. So I imagine a world as a clinician, and I'll explain it as a clinician and then as a patient. So as a clinician, where I don't have to touch anything and I can focus on the patient in front of me, I'm pulling and pushing information to and from using my voice into a database, whatever that is, whether it's an electronic healthcare record or just a glorified database. And I can go about my day. I'm enjoying my day. Clinicians are retained within the workforce, and it's a brilliant role to play in society. And then we see from a patient perspective that patient outcomes are improving. Patients feel like they're more listened to, like the doctor is on the journey with them, and that kind of real privilege rapport between patient and doctor is restored. And then as a healthcare system, we imagine that we can look at things in a much more intelligent way and proactive way, rather than this reactive healthcare that we're seeing today. So we can analyze population health better. We can manage chronic disease much better with far better outcomes. So as a patient, imagine, you know, going to the emergency department and not having to explain all of your, you know, 15-year complex cardiovascular history anymore, because it's seamlessly there in front of the doctor, pulling out all the salient parts for the doctor. Imagine you've been prescribed an antibiotic by me as a GP, and you've gone home, and I can check on you in 2 days' time via Heidi. And in fact, Heidi can even check on you every single day and report back to me if we want Heidi to. That's the world that is a true reality if we continue at the trajectory that we're on.
Well, that answers my second question, sort of. When Heidi's going from AI scribe to the AI care partner, what's the difference that matters to patients? I mean, you pretty much answered that. because the patient will also be involved in your vision.
Absolutely. I think, look, you know, and it may be that patients are also taken more on this journey and able to critique their own notes. You know, I'd love to see a world where, from a patient perspective, they're far more involved in their care. And again, the data supports the fact that if patients have personalized healthcare plans, they experience more of a shared care experience, then outcomes improve. So let's achieve that together collectively. I would love to see that. I think it's a super exciting space to be in, and I'm really excited by the prospect of what healthcare looks like in the foreseeable future.
So my last question would maybe be, how should we train medical personnel and also patients, you know, to fully benefit from this, foreseeable opportunities in the future?
Yeah, I think this is a really important question and one that we think a lot about. We work with a lot of kind of medical schools and patient and public groups in the UK and further afield. I think that, you know, if we take a step back and think outside of healthcare, I think that people are becoming much more familiar with using AI in our everyday lives. When it comes to healthcare, it's often scarier, right? The stakes are higher, of course. But I think that the patient groups and medical students are certainly becoming more familiar with it. I think it's our role as a vendor to educate people and continue to, you know, be really transparent about what we're building, why we're building it, and bring people along on that journey, you know, and work with regulators, policymakers, you know, patient voice groups, etc., collaboratively, to really tell that that clear story, you know. But I think it's there's always going to be a group of patients, doctors, etc., that are more scared. And I think it's our job to help them understand the benefits and the risks as well, but also to reflect, to respect their choice as well. Like, ultimately, if a clinician or a patient doesn't want AI in their consultation, then that's absolutely fine, right? We have to respect their choice.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I think we need to fundamentally change also the education, because if it's more about the patient conversation and about building that trust, I call it empathy, because I find empathy not suitable. I think it's a combination of being empathic and getting people to trust and to act in a certain way so that they can support their health. I think we need to fundamentally change our education systems, also in medical.
Yeah, yeah. And you may well be right. I think that a lot of the medical schools are trying to change. It often takes longer than they necessarily want to actually bring that to, like, frontline, you know, medical student training. But we're working, and we're being asked to come and do talks with a lot of the medical schools and the kind of junior doctors now, which we weren't, you know, a couple of years ago. So it is changing. There's probably just going to be a lag on that. And I think it's in part, you know, it is partly our responsibility to make sure that the future generation of doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals are all educated on this as well.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much, Hannah, for your time, and see you in Amsterdam. I'm really...
I can't wait. Lovely.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to watch your journey. And I will share the link to your research paper in the NHS in my show notes. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. See you in Amsterdam.